Rockland Turkey Cross. I appreciate the invitation to be here and talk about these lessons about what we need to do to evangelize or have home Bible studies, as we talked last night. There's a great need in the communities in the world, a great need here in this community in Tate County, and that is preaching the gospel. As we looked at Romans chapter 10 last night, noticed a few things. I want to jolt your memory for just a moment and see if you can remember with me as I try to get everything turned on here. Can you remember the phrase, "If you build it, he will come"? 1987, Hollywood film by the name of Field of Dreams, starring Kevin Costner, heard a voice as he walked through his cornfield, "If you build it, he will come." Kept hearing his voice, trying to figure out, what does it mean? What does it mean? Finally, he comes to the realization he needs to build a baseball field out of his cornfield. And then when he does such, the 1919 Chicago White Sox baseball team shows up and begins to play baseball on his field. "If you build it, he will come." Now, this sounds kind of silly if we were to apply this to the local church, if we were to apply this to the work of the Lord's church, to say, "If you build it, he will come." What if we were to say, "If you build it, they will come"? It would sound a little silly, would it not? If you build it, they will come. And thinking that if we build facilities, if we begin to put furnishings in these facilities, if we begin to put things like heating and air conditioning to keep us warm or cool, if we put the right kind of pews or the right colored carpet or the right paint on the walls, if we build it, then they will come. Well, I'm sad to say that so many times this is actually what's happening. We begin to take this idea from Hollywood, "If we build it, then the community will come." We talked last night about the need for gospel preaching. There is a great need for gospel preaching, but as we think about this morning, part two of what we talked about last night, there is also a great need, and that is for us to continue the work of the Great Commission, and that is to go. You see, we have these nice facilities. We have a great building here at Crockett. We have a great building at Luxahoma. There's a great building in Coldwater, at Dye Tower, and Independence, and other areas here in Tate County. They're great buildings, great facilities for us to meet together and worship in spirit and in truth, great places to come together for the purpose of Bible classes. But brethren, we cannot rely solely upon our buildings to go to be enough reason for people to want to come into these buildings and to hear the gospel being preached. This morning, I want us to look very briefly at the Great Commission. We'll another call forth of the accounts of the Great Commission. And then from there, we're going to go through the book of Acts. It's not an exhaustive list, but it is a detailed list of the work of the apostles. As they were trying to go out, they were trying to fulfill this commission now that Jesus had given to them, and this commission to go and preach the gospel to every creature, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. As we'll look at here in just a moment, how did they go about doing these things? Did they go and they build? Did the Apostle Paul go to Ephesus and build a church building and say, "Here it is, now everyone's going to come in"? Did Peter and John and all of these apostles, did they go to their local area or these areas and begin to set up local buildings and say, "I've built it, now they will come"? Or was it something different? Was it something different that they've done? As we think about the topic that I'm to speak on, services or projects that I have done that brought about home Bible studies. I told you last night that I feel unqualified to speak on this topic, and here's the reason why. In 2014, I took upon a word, Marion, Arkansas, Highway 77 Church of Christ. I remember I was still in preaching school when this happened. Brother Bob Liddell came up to me. He was talking to me, and he said, "Brother, congregation that will work if you go out and you work. He says, if you remember to get out of the office, to go to work, then you'll have to work. Well, after spending 2 years inside the office and hardly little time amongst people, I realized Brother Liddell was right. We think about the things that we've done as far as worked with the Memphis School of Preaching. At the end of every quarter, three times a year, I suppose, we would go on door knocking campaigns, and maybe two times, but check me on those details, but we would go on door knocking campaigns. People say door knocking doesn't work now. Door knocking is old-fashioned. It doesn't work. You know why door knocking doesn't work? Because we don't work door knocking. Because we don't go out and we knock on their doors and begin to tell people, I have good news for you. You need to listen to what I have to say. Would you come and have a Bible study with me? Would you come and listen to the gospel with us? These things, the only reason that certain things fail is because we fail, not because the method is bad. I often say that evangelism is a lot like a tackle box. You go fishing, you don't take one kind of bait. Brother Harold is here from Los Alamos. When he goes fishing, he doesn't take just crickets or worm from him. Rather, he'll take a tackle box. He'll take plastic lures. He'll take, he can tell you a lot better than I can. He'll take several different lures, and he'll begin to, if he wants to try to catch a certain kind of fish, he'll use a certain kind of lure. If that doesn't work, he'll use something else. But brother, evangelism and getting the gospel out into the community is a lot like that tackle box. If we want to go out and evangelize, if we want to be fishers of men, we have to try every method possible. Door knocking. It works in some areas. It may work in this area. It may not work in Loxapoma. It may work in Senatobia. It will work somewhere and not work in other places. But not only have we done the door knocking campaigns, but we've done that at Loxapoma and seen a little success with that. Last night, we talked about what we did at Walmart. We make cards through Vistaprint. Has our logo, has our service type on the front, our contact information. On the back, it has a couple of questions. Why are there so many churches? Why are there so many churches but only one Bible? Do you know what you must do to be saved? Do you want an answer to these questions? Check out our website. We also had a code on the back where you can take your phone and you can scan it and it will pull up our website directory. You pass that information at Walmart. And in a grocery store, case with an allowance, but maybe other places will. You go to where the people are, and that's going to be the emphasis of this lesson today. We're going to go where the people are. It's not an if you build it, they will come, but it's we have built it, now let's go and get people to fill it up. We're going to go where the people are. Last night we talked about our cell phones and the things that we can do through technology, Facebook, internet, websites, YouTube channels. I even said that we started a Twitter page and we started an Instagram to try to reach out to our younger people. They know more about Twitter and Instagram than I know about anything. But either way, how are we going to get the people to come? How many people are actually coming through our doors when we hold a gospel meeting? How many people are coming to our doors just because we have services on Sunday? I'm not talking about our members. I'm talking about those that are lost in the community. How many people are coming through the door because we have a gospel meeting in the spring and in the fall? How many people are coming because we have a vacation Bible school in the middle of the year in the summer? You see, we have these nice facilities. We need to go out where the people are. We need to bring them in. Let's examine these great commissions. This great commission. See what we're doing in order to broaden the borders of the kingdom. This morning, as we begin, let's look at the commission that was told. What commission was told? Think about where Jesus is in the timeline of Jesus' life. He's now been victorious over death. He has now been resurrected on the third day. He's preparing to take his exalted position in the right hand of God before he ascended into heaven. just before he does this, he gives his apostles these marching orders, if you will. He commissions them to do the greatest work that will ever be done on this earth. He tells them in Mark 16 and verse 15, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to all, to every creature." Notice Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, "All power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Then he says, "Go ye therefore." And we want to stop right there for just a moment. We see the word "therefore." What do we say about it? See what it is there for. Because Jesus has been given all power or all authority, because he now has all authority, he's telling them, "Now you go. Teach all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." You notice just there in those two passages that we've read, Jesus is saying, "Go." He's saying, "Go," being indicative. It's being something that they have to do. They have to, in just a moment, we're going to notice, we're going to tell them, "Tarry in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem for just a moment. But after these things happen, you got to go. You can't stay here. You can't just stay in Jerusalem and expect the entire world to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Brethren, we can't just stay in the church building and expect the community to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. We have to go just as the apostles did. Notice with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 24, Jesus says, "Thus it's written, thus it behooves Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." In Luke chapter 24, verses 4 and 6 and 4 and 7. Notice with me, if you will, again in John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." So he tells them, "Go." This is an active mission that they're going on. This is similar to what our military will do if they go over to a foreign field.
Now because of the things that they know, the things that they will be able
able to remember because of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, this great comforter who guide them into all truth, they would go into all the world and tell as many people as they possibly could about the wonderful Savior that has died for their sins. Christ commissioned the apostles to go, to preach, to teach, as well notice, and there was never any confusion as to what Jesus meant when he said these words. They never had to stand around and scratch their heads and say, do you really want me to do this? The only time that I can think of something like that happening would be Acts chapter 10. And Peter being told to go to the house of Cornelius. Oh, I've never eaten anything that was unclean. I've never touched anything that was unclean. I'm called unclean when I am called clean. God will tell him, showing him that the gospel is going to all the world. But now let's look at where the commission was taken. Where is this great commission? Where did they take these things? Now that the apostles knew what they were to be doing, where did they go? Well, just as they were told in Luke chapter 24, they began in Jerusalem, where they would receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, as we began talking about the first gospel sermon ever preached, we noticed that, as it says, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them 12 tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Jesus told them in Luke chapter 24, tarry you in the city of Jerusalem. What do we find them doing? Acts chapter 2, after Christ has ascended. They are waiting in the city of Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon them. That's what we just read, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. They are beginning to follow this great commission that they are now under. They went. They went where the people are, where the people were. Brethren, that's what we have to do. We have to go where the people are. We have to go, well, we have to go to Walmart sometimes. We have to go knock on their door. They're not at the church building. Where are they on Sunday mornings? They're at home. Sometimes they're even in bed. They're sitting around. Please do not. Are they here in the building? No. They're at home. Even some of our own members are on Wednesday nights or Sunday afternoon, Sunday nights. Where are they? Where can they be found? At home. But what do we need to do? We need to go see them at home. See those that are attending our services. Although they may be members, there's still a visit that we need to make also. There's still evangelizing and home studies that we need to be doing, even right there. But what did the apostles do now that they were commissioned? They went where the people are. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Peter and John went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer. Why did they go to the temple? Some would say it's 11 of their custom to go into the temple. But it might be because that's where the people are. So we're going to continue noticing several verses in the book of Acts. We're going to see they went where the people are. And they were scattered abroad. Acts chapter 8, we remember they're scattered abroad because the Saul of Tarsus was breathing threatenings upon the church. He's causing this great havoc in the church, and the apostles and the disciples were scattered abroad, preaching the word. Acts 4, verse 5. It says that Philip went down unto Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them in Samaria. Now they're being proactive in carrying the gospel out into the world. They went wherever lost souls were. Remember Philip, going there to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. Why did he go way out there just to study with one person? Well, because there was a lost soul that was out there that needed to hear the good news. So Philip went to where he was. Philip taught him the gospel. And we'll see what happens to that in the next place. They went to where all the people, all the creatures, as they were told in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. All creatures, even the Gentiles. Now we can take the time to study the Jewish thought about the Gentiles and see their attitude toward these Gentiles. They thought that they were the lowest of the low. We noticed, talked about Peter just a moment ago, when he was told to go set out for Cornelius. What was the attitude that he had? He was, and he didn't want to go, but he was afraid that he was doing something that he shouldn't do. God said, don't call unclean when I call clean. He'll preach the gospel even to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul would be chosen. He was a chosen vessel to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles. Jesus Christ would appear to him on the road to Damascus just for this purpose, so that he could be set apart for this work of going and preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And thank God that he did it. Thank God that the gospel is now for all people. But we notice Acts chapter 14, for a verse that took notice Acts chapter 10 and verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of a band called the Italian band. This is Cornelius. This is the one that Peter would be told to go and to study with. Acts chapter 14 and verse 1, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, so spake the great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believe. Every creature, both the Jews, both the Gentiles, all manner of people. The gospel, what's the song of the saint? The gospel is for all. The gospel is for every person. And they passed through the field. Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where the synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as was his manner, went in unto them. 3 days Sabbath, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Acts 17, verses 1 and 2. They're going where the people are. We can notice again, Acts chapter 18 and verse 4. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Acts chapter 18 and verse 19. He came to Ephesus, left there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews.